Today's date is January 12th, 2012. Dobie, would you state your full name, your date of birth, and your present age?
Robert Dobie Langenkamp, 75, born August 14, 1936.
We are recording this in our recording studios here for VoicesOfOklahoma.com in Tulsa. Tell us where you were born.
Well, I was born here in Tulsa, about 13th in Peoria. As I like to tell, and my wife is now tired of hearing me say, I was born on the hottest day in the history of Oklahoma, which was 116 degrees. And last summer, it got up to 115, but it has never passed 116 degrees. The building where I was born is still there as a small sort of pink warehouse across from Long John Silver's.
What was the address?
Like 1327 Peoria. It was a 8-bed osteopathic hospital, and now it's a warehouse. We were osteopath people back in those days. There were sort of two classes of people. There were the osteopath people, and there were the MD people, and the osteopath tended to be a little bit poorer.
So it was less expensive.
Yes, it was less expensive. And it's interesting because the doctor that delivered me, I got the birth certificate out the other day, and he turns out to be a fellow that was in the Atlas Life Building when I started practicing law in Tulsa in 1964. I didn't know this at the time, or I would have gone in and met him. But his reputation was that he handled all the prostitutes. I mean, his practice had declined to the point he had a small office in the Atlas Life Building and serviced mostly the hookers in Tulsa. And this was the guy that delivered me in 1936. But when he was in the Atlas Building, he had a medical office in the Atlas Building. Back in those days, there were quite a few doctors who were downtown in the tall buildings and so forth. But anyway, I didn't recognize it till later, and I saw that name, and I said, well, that looks familiar. And then I got to thinking, he was the one that everyone said, go up to the 10th floor if you want to see all the prostitutes in town come in for their tests.
Okay, let's talk about your family. Let's start with your grandparents, Grandfather Langenkamp. Where does he come from? Where does he live?
Well, he came from St. Louis. There was a large German population in St. Louis. His father came over from Westphalia. I've been to the town where presumably the Langenkamps came from. His father was evidently a foundling, either a foundling or his parents died shortly after he got over here. And he made money for a while as a cook on a riverboat up and down the Mississippi. Evidently, the only asset he had when he got to the country was four or five recipes. So he was a cook for a while and ended up being a shoe salesman in St. Louis and raised over 25 children. He had a bunch of children. His second wife had a bunch of children, and then they together had a bunch of children. So my grandfather one time said there were 25 children raised in this brownstone house there in St. Louis, two-story.
But you're talking about your grandfather's father.
My grandfather's father, yes.
So be your great.
And my grandfather was one of those 25.
Right.
And then what he did, what many people did in those days, is they took off and came to Oklahoma. My grandfather Langenkamp came down to Drumright. He was a self-educated engineer, had no college education, but had taken all sorts of correspondence courses in those days. And so he was an engineer for Prairie, or one of those early companies, and built a lot of the pipelines around Drumright. In fact, he did fairly well in the oil business in the sense that he kept getting promoted and eventually was located in Tulsa. I have a great picture of my father in Drumright as a 10-year-old boy doing a handstand on a horse, and in the background you can see the hillside covered with these drilling rigs. You know, you had the big boom in Cushing and Drumright. Anyway, my grandfather came down, did that, lost his job because of mergers and acquisitions and so forth, and ended up with a number of different jobs. But at one time, he worked for Williams in the Panama Canal, laying a pipeline down there. So he was a pipeline engineer, had eight children, and was a typical sort of German autocrat.
Didn't he at one time head up the WPA in Tulsa?
Yeah. One of his jobs, after Prairie Oil was acquired by Sinclair or someone, and he lost his job, he took over the WPA in Tulsa.
Let me just say that's the Works Progress Administration. Was the largest, I suppose, most ambitious New Deal agency, employed millions of unskilled workers that carried out public works projects and public buildings, roads, and operated large arts, drama, media, and literacy projects. So the WPA. Your father then in Tulsa headed that up.
Yes. He was like the regional supervisor, the district supervisor, because he had been basically a supervisor and superintendent of pipeline construction. And most of this work was building courthouses and streets and so forth. There's supposedly a picture somewhere, I've never seen it, of all the crews out working. There are just thousands of people, and many of them are lawyers and bankers and people who had lost their jobs who were for the first time in their life forced to use a shovel. He was a socialist, which was the other thing that was interesting about my grandfather. He believed that religion was the opiate of the people, and I remember as a small boy I was religious. The other side of the family were Episcopalians, and I remember him pounding on the table and saying religion was the opiate of the people.
That's Grandfather Langenkamp, but then your maternal grandfather, would that be Grandfather Dobie?
Yes, his name was Leslie Dobie, and he was a Scot. All the Dobies had come down from Canada, where, as you know, many Scots immigrated. They came down into Wisconsin and were in the lumber business. His father was quite a plunger, and at one time was the partner of Weyerhaeuser, and later went bankrupt. And his son went to the University of Oregon out west because that was lumber country. And he worked in the summers as what they call a timber cruiser, which is a guy who would walk through the forest and estimate in his head how many board feet there were in this forest. Anyway, he eventually came back to Wisconsin and ran for the state legislature as one of La Follette's boys. La Follette, you know, the great progressive. And he got elected. And he was quite young. My mother, in fact, was born in Madison, or maybe Superior, which is the state capital. They had very progressive platform. I've seen some ads for his campaign. They believed in an eight-hour day. They believed in no child labor. You know, they had a bunch of wild ideas like that. He got beat in his first reelection bid by what they called in those days the stalwarts, and they were the conservatives, the anti-progressives. And so he packed up and came to Tulsa. He was in his early 20s then. He had a college degree. Opened an office with his brother. They were independent producers until he died at age 36 and never was able to really make the big hit that would have meant considerable money. He, in fact, was drilling a well in Arkansas. These rigs were all built by hand for that well, by timbers. At any rate, he was drilling a well in Arkansas when he got cancer and died. That left my mother and her brother and sister with only one means of support, which was my grandmother, and she was sort of a woman of some prominence in Tulsa.
What was her name?
Her name was Claire Dobie. I have a clipping of her from the Tulsa Tribune with a picture saying that she was going to be reading Thanatopsis for some club or some presentation. She was a thespian of sorts and was one of those that founded the Tulsa Little Theater. And of course, when my grandfather got cancer and died at age 36, she was left almost penniless or pretty close to penniless. And she spent the rest of her life teaching school out at Mingo. She was a little heavy horsepower for that little one-room country school. She was an educated woman. She decided to run for county superintendent of schools, and she had a stroke while she was making a speech and popped over dead. So at that point, my mother and aunt and uncle were orphaned. My mother had just gotten married. So the Dobies had really some bad luck.
Your mother and her name?
Her name is Mary Bell Dobie. She married my father, whose name was Robert Darwin Langenkamp. My grandfather Langenkamp named all of his boys after various liberal figures. One of my uncles was Eugene Debs Langenkamp, named after the socialist that got more votes in Oklahoma per capita than anywhere in the nation in like 1920. And actually went to jail. I think Eugene Debs was put in jail at one point in time. But he is sort of the patron saint of socialists in America.
So the name trickled down to your family.
Yeah, and another one was named Burbank. Burbank was a very famous person because he was an agronomist, and then my dad's name was Darwin. And, of course, in those days, being fond of Darwin or supporting Darwin was pretty much fighting words. Probably 80% of the American people were opposed to evolution in those days.
And your father and mother met here?
Actually, when my grandmother, Dobie, realized that she was a widow, she thought she had some funds. Because, you know, how oil business is, it's hard to say. And, of course, in those days, the price was going up and down. This is family lore and may not be true. But she was sold 5 acres by Cyrus Avery, the theory being that they were going to have a huge, wonderful development in North Tulsa. It was right exactly where the airport is now, between the airport and the park. So she bought this 5 acres and spent the first bit of money she had on a servant's quarters. The money dried up, and she and my mother and uncle and aunt lived the rest of the life in the servant's quarters. The subdivision never made. They never got a decent road. They never got any water. They were stuck out there on this 5 acres, and Cyrus Avery went on to other things. But this was supposed to be a great development, and they were the ones that bought the first lot. So they were trying to get water. The Langenkamps were nearby with sort of a semi-farm. And the only way they get water is from the Langenkamps. So my father, being a pretty handy guy, installed a gasoline engine pump and about a mile-long pipeline to pump water from the Langenkamps down to the Dobies. My mother met my father when he was connecting up that pipeline and setting that motor up. He was 15, she was 13, and they never, ever looked at another person for the rest of their lives. So they grew up geographically contiguous. So they were real, honest-to-God Tulsans. They got married in 35.